Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Lord, would help us. The Bible says this in 2 Samuel chapter number 9, verse number 1. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when he had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame of his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell at his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not. I find that very interesting that David starts this whole conversation out with, you don't have to fear anything. And I'll say more about this when I get into the message, but the reason I believe that David said that was because, according to the custom of that time, David could have killed Mephibosheth right then because he was of the house of Saul, which was the previous king. But instead of killing Mephibosheth, he tells him not to fear, and he's fixing to show him grace like he's never experienced in his life. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table. Watch this continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Look in verse number 13 for the sake of time. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, and he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Now, Father, I love you, and I thank you for your blessings, Father. You know the need of our service today. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd meet it as only you can. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we preach a little while today. God, you know our heart's desire. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would touch us, Father, mentally, physically, spiritually today. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd touch our throat for a little while, God. I pray, God, that you give us clarity of thought today. God, help me to relay to the people, God, the things that you've relayed to me. And God, I'll be careful to give you the praise. Lord, if there's any here lost, I pray that you'd save them today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to look at the life of Mephibosheth for just a little while this morning. Yeah, I really don't have a title for the message. I'm just going to look there at the life of Mephibosheth for just a little while. When you come to chapter number 9, you'll find that chapter number 9 is primarily dealing with Mephibosheth. It's all dealing with his life. Whenever you begin looking at it, the first four verses, there's the compassion for Mephibosheth. In verses 5-8, there's the coming for Mephibosheth. And then in verses 9-13, there is the changes that takes place in the life of Mephibosheth. His life was never the same once he bowed at the feet of the king. And can I say something to you this morning? Your life will never... Boy, it's hard not just rear back and preach on something like this. Your life will never be the same once you bow at the feet of the king. Amen. Your life will be eternally changed once you bow at at the feet of the king. Note in verse number 1 of chapter number 9, the Bible said this, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? You'll find out that David here is searching for just anybody that is left of the house of Saul. I wrote this down in my Bible. David looked for anybody, found a crippled nobody, and made him a somebody. And can I say something to you today? Jesus and God is passing by looking for anybody. And when he finds us, he'll find a crippled nobody. But if we'll submit ourselves to him, we'll leave a somebody because we're a child of the king. You know, a lot of times we make this statement, well, I'm just a nobody. Now, I understand what we're saying when we say that. I understand that without God, we would be nobody, but I'm not without God today. I have him living inside of my heart. The blood that flows in my veins today is the royal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not a nobody anymore. I'm somebody headed somewhere. I'm a child of the king today. Amen. Jesus is my father. God is my father. Heaven's my eternal home. I'm an ambassador of the Lord today. And here is David searching for anybody. He finds a crippled nobody, but ends up making him a somebody. This kindness that David is fixing to show to Mephibosheth was great. This kindness was gracious, and this kindness was a genuine kindness because he did not have to do it. David didn't have to do what David is fixing to do, but he chose to do it. When studying the life of Mephibosheth, we see his lineage. He's of the house of Saul. We see his lameness. He was lame both of feet. But then we see his location. He is in Lodabar. This means pastureless, and it describes a place of desolation. Mephibosheth is living in a place of complete desolation is what it's saying to us today. I thought about this, his lineage today. The Bible says this, that he was of the house of Saul. And whenever we study the Bible out, we know that Jonathan is Mephibosheth's father. And Jonathan's father is King Saul. In other words, whenever we begin to think about Mephibosheth as a boy growing up and starting his boyhood, he probably didn't have a worry in the world. Let me tell you the reason why. His grandpa is the king. His grandpa's the king of all of Jerusalem. He probably didn't have a worry in all of the world because who his grandfather was. But there came a day in his life that all of that tragically changed in just a few moments. Saul ends up dead. David ends up on the throne. And now because of the custom of that day, Mephibosheth is in worry of his life. Why? Because his grandfather's no longer the king. Can I say something to you today? Our life in just the moment can change from everything being all right to our world completely turned upside down. Can I get an amen right there? Boy, if time would permit us, we could look at the life of a man by the name of Job. And you know what happens to Job's life? Boy, in just one day, his life is turned completely upside down. I thought about this in the life of Mephibosheth. His stand becomes a fall. His ease becomes a struggle. His mountaintops turns in to desert places. Saul's home was in Gilboa, whenever you study it out, which means the hill. Mephibosheth ends up in a place called Lodabar, which means no pasture. It was a place of barrenness and typifies what was happening in his life. Man, he went from the mountain to the desert. His security became insecurity. His comfort became pain. Isn't it amazing how the event of one day completely changed the life of a boy by the name of Mephibosheth? Whenever you began to study Mephibosheth's life out, I'm headed somewhere, stay with me. There's the crown that he would never wear because Saul is no longer king. There's the crippled he would never walk because of a fall that he took when he was but a boy. There's the castaway. He had no worth now. Are you seeing the picture today? There was somebody that was once something. His family was once something. But now, in the middle of Lodabar, lays a little boy that has no, or he's not a little boy, he's a grown man at this time when David finds him. But here is a man that has a nothing. His self-worth is nothing. He's crippled. He's what we would know today as a wheelchair. He's a crippled. He's in a wheelchair. He can't do for himself. He's in a mess. He's running because of fear of King David. If King David ever does find him, will David kill him because of who he is? He's of the lineage of Saul. And here he sits in a messed up condition. His life is in a mess. He's in fear of everything that would happen around him. And all of a sudden, the unthinkable happens. A messenger from King David shows up at his house. Are you with me? David can kill Mephibosheth according to the custom of that day. Why? Because of his lineage. Because he could be heir to the throne. David can kill him. But when David's chariot of grace shows up down in Lodabar, there's a whole nother story that's about to be painted. Here this boy is, and he's fixing to find grace from the hand of the king. Let me show you four things. Number one this morning, I want you to see Mephibosheth was crippled by a fall or by a stumble. Mephibosheth was crippled by a fall. Have you got your Bible? Back up to chapter number 4 of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 4. Let me read you a verse in 2 Samuel chapter number 4. The Bible says this, 2 Samuel chapter number 4. And Jonathan, verse number 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made a haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. You say, preacher, what are you saying this morning? Mephibosheth was crippled by a fall or by someone stumbling. For sake of alliteration, you'll understand that in just a minute. He was crippled by the fall of someone else. You see, the reason Mephibosheth was in the mess that Mephibosheth was in, the reason he was crippled the way that he was, is because someone had failed before him. Can I say this to you today? Does that not remind you of my life and your life? The reason, now listen, I completely understand that we have to take personal responsibility, and you know that about me. I'm not about passing the buck on everybody else and not taking responsibility for the things that you have done. But stay with me just a second today. Do you not remember what happened in Genesis chapter number 3? Genesis chapter number 3 is known as what of man? The fall of man. You see, Adam and Eve was created in a perfect world, in a perfect environment. Man, we cannot even begin to comprehend what the world was like in that day. And what happened? They fell to sin. And because of that, now sin is passed upon all men. Listen to what the Bible said in Romans chapter number 5. In verse number 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Listen to what the Bible said in Isaiah 53, verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was crippled by a fall. Mephibosheth was crippled because of the fall of someone else. You and I today, we sit here today messed up sinners because of Adam and Eve. That's It's the reason we are the way that we are. Let me tell you the reason you sin, Miss Ella, because your mama's a sinner. Say amen, Brother Rodney, because your mama's a sinner. And let me tell you the reason she's a sinner, because her mama's a sinner. I know you'll say amen on that one, Brother Rodney, because her mama's a sinner. And let me tell you the reason her mama's a sinner, because her mama's a sinner. And you know what? You can trace it all the way back to a lady by the name of Eve in the Garden of Eden one day. And what happened? Here's what happened. They fell to sin. You see, Mephibosheth was in the condition that he was in because of the fall of someone else. You and I today, we can pretend to be perfect people, but really deep down inside, we're imperfect people. Amen. So number one this morning, Mephibosheth was crippled by the fall or stumbling of someone else. I could say so much more, but let me move for the sake of time. Number two, Mephibosheth lived in the house of Makar, which means sold. That's what it means. It means sold. Mephibosheth lived in the house of Makar when we read the Bible, which means sold. As sinners without God, we are sold under sin and are in spiritual bondage to our carnal nature. Listen to what the Bible said in Romans chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual. But listen to this. But I am carnal, sold under sin. Sold under sin. Can I say something to you today? You and I both are sold under sin. You and I both, because of our past, because of a stumbling, because of the fall of men, we are sold under sin. I thought about this. Mephibosheth lived in Lodabar, the place of barrenness. Life without Jesus is barren also. You have no true peace, no true joy, no true security, no purpose for living. We are simply barren. We are pastureless. We're in a bad shape. Why? Because we're sold under sin. Sin will never bring you happiness. Sin will never bring, you say, well, preacher, I can find happiness in this or that. The Bible said there's pleasure in sin for a season. It is for a season, but just as fall will pass and winter will set in before long, hear me and hear me well, that's what happens with sin. You may be living in the springtime of sin, or you may be living in the summer of sin, but I promise you, because you're sold under sin, without the Lord Jesus Christ, your life will become miserable. I was teaching the other Sunday in Sunday school, and as I was teaching, Miss Kayla made this statement, and I think that I can make it without her getting mad at me. But she made this statement. She said, preacher, now that I'm saved, she said, I wake up each day not wanting to numb the pain of the day, but to live and enjoy the blessings of the day. Many of you don't know Miss Kayla's past, and I'm not going to go deep into it, but there was a time in her life where she battled major depression, and there was a time in her life even when she attempted to take her own life. Let me tell you the reason why she was sold under sin. Oh, but aren't you glad that God does not leave man in that condition? He was crippled. He was messed up. He was, why? Because of somebody else. Let me tell you the reason all of us sitting in here today are messed up people, because the fall of Adam and Eve, it's just in our nature today. None of us is better than nobody else. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We're messed up people because we're sold under sin. It's what the Bible says. We're sold under sin. Let me show you something else about Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was crippled by a fall or stumbling. Mephibosheth lived in the house of Makar, which means he was sold. But can I show you number three? Watch this morning. Mephibosheth was sought by David. There was a stumbling. There was a sold under sin. But watch this. There was a seeking. Mephibosheth was sought by David. Look with me again in verse number 1. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And the Bible goes on to say, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there any, or is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? Nowhere do you find that Mephibosheth went looking for David. Nowhere do you find where the servant went looking, where Mephibosheth's servant or caretaker went looking for David. Nowhere will you find that. But you know what you do find? You do find David going to look for him. You'll get a hold of it in a minute. Can I be real honest with you? The night I got saved, I did not go to church to get saved. You say, well, why did you go to church? You see that little short lady sitting right over there with glasses on and a blue dress? That's the reason I went to church. Because I knew she would beat the devil out of me if I didn't show up. And I knew she would know. You want me to tell you the reason I knew she would know? Because her husband was going to stand up in front of everybody and look for me. And it didn't matter if there was going to be 600 or 700 people literally there that night. They would know if their boy was not sitting on the left-hand side about halfway back. You want me to tell you the reason I went to church that night? I went because, number one, mom and daddy made me go. But number two, this was before I was married. Number two, I was 16 years old and it was youth camp and there was about 150 teenage girls there and I wanted every one of them's number. I didn't want one of them. I wanted all of them. If they was pretty, if they was ugly, I didn't want their number. But if they was pretty, I wanted all of them's number. That's the reason I went to church that night. There's the whole, I'm just being honest, Brother Josh. But let me tell you what happened that night I went to church. Somebody came to church looking for me. Besides my mom and daddy and all them teenage girls. Somebody, y'all will get that in just a minute. Somebody, Brother Jacob, come to church that night. Looking for me. Somebody that was sold out under sin. Somebody that was crippled by the fall of someone else. Somebody came to church that night looking for me. David goes looking for Mephibosheth instead of Mephibosheth coming to look for David. Let me tell you the reason Mephibosheth wasn't going to go look for David, because he knew, according to the custom of that time, he was not worthy to be in the presence of the king. And can I say something to you? I was not worthy to be in the presence of the king. And because of my sinful condition, and because I had not kept the law of the Old Testament, you know why? I was worthy of death, and I wasn't looking for him. Oh, but I sure, boy, I really just want to throw my Bible straight up in the air and grab my handkerchief and preach like a wild man for an hour right here. I sure am glad that somebody came to where I was at and sought me out. He just didn't ask about me. But then he sent messengers to where I was at. And then he got me and brought me back to, amen. David sought Mephibosheth out. The reason Mephibosheth is fixed to enjoy what he did is because there came a day in his life when he was sought. Listen to what the Bible said. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. David fetched Mephibosheth and drew him to himself. God does the same thing with his children. I thought about this. John 6:44 says this, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will rise him or raise him up at the last day. John 12:32 says this, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Listen to what he said in Hosea 11:4. I drew them with cords of men, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke of their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. Jeremiah 31:3 says this: the Lord hath appointed of old unto me, or appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You know, let me tell you the reason you're saved today, if you're saved, is because the good God of heaven drew you to him. It wasn't that you went on a search for God, and you may say, well, yes, I was looking for him. You know, let me tell you the only reason you was looking for him, it's because he came to where you was at in your messed up condition that you was living in, and he started looking for you. Yes, when I went to the altar that night, I was looking for him at that time, but the only reason is because he came to where I was at, and he looked for me, and he drawed me out in spite of my condition, in spite of my mess, in spite of my sin, in spite of where I was at. God loved me and came to my barren place and wooed me to him. Mephibosheth was sought. Can I show you one thing in closing? Number four. Not only you see Mephibosheth was crippled by a stumble. Mephibosheth lived in the house of Makar, which means he was sold. Mephibosheth was sought by David. But I show you this in closing. Mephibosheth was shown kindness and grace for Jonathan's sake. Not because of who he was, but because of who Jonathan was. You study it out, and you that knows your Bible knows that there was a time in the life of David and Jonathan, they was very close friends, that David and Jonathan made a covenant with each other. And the reason that Mephibosheth is fixing to be shown the grace of God and the grace of the king is because of a covenant that was made between his father and David. His father and the king made a covenant. Let me say something to you. David did not mention his handicap at all. Did you notice that? Nowhere does David mention he's lame of his feet. Matter of fact, whenever you read it, they mention to David that he's lame of his feet. The servant mentions that to David, but it still does not change the fact that David's going to do what David's going to do. Are you hearing me? Nowhere did God mention to me what I was. He just loved me. Oh, the world may mention it. The world may still point back to who you used to be, but in the eyes of the... Nowhere does David mention that. He totally accepted Mephibosheth for who he was. The sinner without Christ receives God's grace for Jesus' sake when he puts his faith in Christ. Let me tell you the reason I experienced the grace of God. Let me tell you the reason I experienced the grace of the King. It's because of Jesus. I don't experience... Man, I really want to preach, Miss Hannah. I really just want to jump up on the pew and run the back of them, Brother Caleb, on this. I don't experience the goodness of God, Brother Caleb, because of what I've done. I'm crippled. I'm just an old crippled sinner. I experience it, Brother Jerry, because of Jesus' sake. It's because of Jesus going to Calvary. It's because of the blood of the Lord Jesus. I get to experience what I experienced. Hey, Mephibosheth's experiencing what he's experiencing, not because of who he was, but because of Jonathan. The reason we experience the goodness of God today is because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason we experience. Titus chapter number 3 says this: but after that, the kindness and love of God of our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Let me show you something in closing in verse number 7. Will you look with me in verse number 7? Miss Tina, will you come start playing softly? Note something in verse number 7. And David said unto him, fear not. Why was he fearful? He fell before him. He humbled himself before him. What David could have done, David could have took a sword and killed him right there. David could have chopped his head off right there. David had the right to do that, man. You know, when we humble ourselves in the presence of God, according to the law, God had the right to kill us because for the wages of sin is death. Amen. He said, fear not, for I will surely show thee the kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul and thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table. Watch what he says, continually. Watch this in verse number 7. Mephibosheth's needs are completely met. Watch this. Fear not, that's his mental need. I'll show you kindness, that's his emotional need. I'll restore your inheritance, is what he's telling him. That's a physical need. But then note what he says in the latter portion of verse number 7. Thou shalt eat bread at my table. Watch what he says, continually. Not just any table, but the king's table continually. All three of his major needs, mental, emotional, and physical, will be met continually and permanently at the king's table. If that don't help you, you probably need to get saved or get right with God. He tell everything that you'll need. If you can't get excited about the grace of God being shown to you, you may not have experienced the grace of God. I'm just going to be real with you. People ought to be lapping the building, shouting on what I just said. Every need, he tells them, he'll meet it right there. Watch something, verse number 12. And Mephibosheth had a young son. Watch this. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both of his feet. What did the Bible do in verse number 12? The Bible brings his son's name in and mentions his son. You see, his son was able to experience the blessings of the king because of his father. You see, when you do what you're supposed to do, your kids can experience the grace of God also. I'll give you this in closing. I don't say what I'm fixing to say because I'm preaching. I say it because it's a Bible. If that don't help you, something's wrong with you. That's the Bible this morning. Son, that's as clear as picture of the grace of God as you'll find in the Word of God. I thought about this. The Bible said in verse number 13 that he did eat bread continually at the king's table. At the king's table. Can you imagine as everybody gathered around the king's table, could you imagine who sat at the king's table? Different visitors, other royal people. I mean, it's a king's table. I can just imagine this table. It's probably about as long as this church, about as wide as this church. Imagine a pig sitting on there with an apple in its mouth and its eyeball still in it. Fish with scales still on it. Sushi biscotti's probably on it. Just imagine who all sat at the king's table. They're fixing to eat at the king's table. Somebody rolls Mephibosheth in. Lame of his feet, somebody rolls him in. Pushes him up to the king's table. Throws his hands up on the king's table. He'd been a Lodabar man. He didn't keep one hand down. He got both elbows up on the table like us. Y'all with me right there? And everybody else comes in and sits down around the table. You know something? Once he slid up under the king's table, nobody noticed his previous condition, because he was at the king's table. He was crippled by fall, but all of that was covered when he sat down around the king's table. Hear me and hear me well. When we come down to the house of God and we sit down around the king's table, we all the same. You ain't no better than I am, and I ain't no better than you are. We all sinners that was crippled by fall, that was headed to hell. I understand somebody else fell, but the truth of the matter is we was all affected by it. Every one of us was sold under sin, headed to the gates of hell one day. But aren't you glad that the sweet Holy Spirit of God came down to where you was at in your messed up condition one day and sought you out and bought you and then brought you back to the king, and now we all get to slide up around the king's table and eat with the king like we all are somebody headed somewhere. Everybody the same. Ain't no difference when we come around the king's table.